Good evening, everybody. Come on in. Time for church to begin. It's good to see you tonight. Happy Wednesday. It's always good to come to church on the midweek. If you're watching on live stream, it's good to have you. We'll kick off with a handful of announcements for you. The kids are up here for worship tonight, but there is kids church and there's youth hangout tonight. So all the young people head down, get checked in after worship is over. But don't forget, this coming Sunday right after church, we have Next Steps. So if you're interested in learning more about this church, you're ready to make this your church home and want to know more information about the church, that's what Next Steps is all about. That will be right after church this Sunday morning. There is a women's event coming up. We're going to give you more details about this in the next week or so. But the last Friday night of this month, ladies, a women's event right here at the church. It'll involve a bonfire, chili, and all sorts of stuff. So we'll let you know more information about that. And we have a couple of side announcements. Tori wants to come share something about the Sycamore House that we announced. We thought was canceled. It's not canceled. So here's Tori to tell you more about it.
Hello. Sorry for the miscommunication. Saturday, they are hosting a vigil. It's open throughout the day, so you can come and go as you please. It's for anybody that has lost an infant for any reason, if it's abortion or miscarriage or sudden infant death, whatever it is, they just want you to come. You get a carnation and you just remember the loss. You just honor the baby that you lost, and it's around the back of the Sycamore House. So all day you can just come and go as you please. So that's all. October 12th, Saturday.
All right, she's got flyers there. If you want one of those flyers, she'll put them on the back table. Patsy wants to come down and say something quick about the Christmas shoeboxes and what's going on. By the way, the deadline for this is November the 17th, but here's Patsy about this.
Okay, I'll let you hold that because I only got a couple of words.
Okay. You got a demonstration for us?
No. Oh. But everybody that can pick up a shoebox, and there's a white paper back there that will let you know, give you an idea of what goes in them. And then there's like a book marker, and then grab one of these because on the back is your sticker to put on the box, whether it's for a boy or girl, and the age. And would appreciate everyone that would participate.
Yeah, thank you, Patsy. So if you have more questions about all that, see Patsy, okay? All right, everybody, let's stand up on our feet tonight. Let's worship Jesus together.
The God of the mountain is the God of the Your name is power.
For you. And the word of the Lord for you tonight is just two words. Ready? Be encouraged. That's it. Be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, be encouraged. If you don't have a neighbor, look around and find somebody. Go tell somebody, be encouraged. Let them know. Go tell somebody else, be encouraged. Come on. After you tell that person, go find somebody else. Be encouraged. All right, let's lock arms with your neighbor, grab their hand. Bump elbows, do something. Come across the aisles. Please don't stand there by yourself wherever you are. Find somebody. Lord, we join together in faith as a family of faith because we believe. And for any discouragement in any hearts tonight, we pray it's infused with the Spirit of God to speak new life and hope. The joy of our salvation to well up within us once again. That we live by faith, even in the simple words like be encouraged. That you are the one who revitalizes us, and you are the one who refreshes us, and you are the one who fills us once again. So, Holy Spirit, do that work in us. And I thank you that nobody will leave this place discouraged tonight. That no matter what we're in, we see you. And because we see you, we always see hope. And I thank you for that. that we're the encouragement church. We're the church that our eyes are fixed upon you. And whenever we do that, we know, Lord, that, well, you're going to lead the way, guide us, give us the word we need to hear. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, say hi to some people, kids. You are dismissed. You may go to kids' church. Youth hangout's happening. You can follow Judah for youth hangout. Good, good, good. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. There you go. Let's give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in and get back up here. While they're doing that, if you have giving tonight, you can prepare that and get that ready. And we certainly, as always, appreciate your faithfulness to the house and your giving. If you need an envelope, there's not one in front of you. You can wave your hand around and somebody will help you out. And just in a moment, we'll pray over that. You can bring that down. Benny, where's Benny at? She was telling me, it's a great testimony tonight that, we were talking about church on mission, and sometimes it's as easy as asking a question. Well, she did that the other day, just a gentleman, and she just, whatever the situation was, asked a question and ended up at later being able to pray with him about a situation that he brought to her because she just simply asked a question. You know what I'm saying? It's the little stuff that opens doors for you to present Jesus in some way to the people that you have opportunities to interact with. So yeah, keep being on mission. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me pray over your offering. If you have something, we've got the baskets down here. You can bring them and put it in there. Lord, we thank you as we give tonight. You are worthy of our giving because all things belong to you and we're honoring you with it. Because you're the one that brings increase. All source comes from you. You are, everything flows out from you because you are the creator. And as increase comes into our lives and just the way the economy of our world works today, you're the source. And we honor you with our giving tonight. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. And as you're doing that, if you want to, get your Bibles out. Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, that's where we're going to be tonight. We've been there for a few Wednesdays. We're going to keep on. I think this is our seventh week in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm having fun with this, and we're going to keep on with it for a little while here till we get through Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11 is a great chapter of faith. And what it marks is that the writer of Hebrews, and again, they're not quite sure who it was. Some think Paul, some think Apollos. They're not sure who exactly the author of Hebrews is. But Hebrews 11 highlights in this chapter great people of faith that were counted righteous because of their faith. And of course, these characters and stories that we find in the Old Testament. And by the way, these people, what's amazing about the people that we find in Hebrews 11 is when they were doing what they were doing, for the most part, at least at the front end of these people, there was no Bible, there was no law. They simply were living by the words of the Lord as they heard him lead and guide and direct. So that's amazing all in and of itself, that they just simply were living by a relationship with God that was in such a way that they heard from him and responded by living by his words. That is faith. So again, faith is living by what? His words. Not by sight, circumstance, situation. You will find circumstances and situations in your life that seem to run contrary to things that God has said, right? So what do? We live by what God has said in the midst of our circumstance, so what God has said will come into our circumstance. How many ever received a bad report about something? Anybody? Okay. That's life. It happens. But when I get a bad report, my first thought is to do what? Pray first. Yes. And then what has God said? And I take my prayer that I have cast my care upon him. I trust him. Then what God has said, then I go back to that bad report. Now, what has God said? That's kind of in the framework of what this bad report's about. Now, I'm going to live by faith in what he has said. Not in deny. Listen, don't deny bad reports. I think we get so far into this confession stuff that we don't feel like we can say something. That's silly. When they diagnosed me with cancer, it wasn't like, well, we just can't say it. Don't say the C word. I had it. It was there. It was cancer. Well, why deny it? That's just silliness. I'm not giving any door to anything. It was there. What do I do? But what has God said? Since it is there. Right? He's the great physician. That's the word. And I start to live by faith, not denying my circumstance, but I will not get caught up in my circumstance that I can't hear and see what God has said. And you grab hold of that. You see what I'm getting at? So we live by faith and not by sight. So the righteous live by faith. So Hebrews 11, where we've been, we're going to pick up where we left off. And verse number 17, we've been in Abraham and some different stories that are drawn from the Old Testament about Abraham here in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, again, verse 17. By faith. Verse 17, by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And he considered, now watch this, he considered that God was even able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So this is drawing from a story. So if you go to Genesis chapter 21, we'll read one verse there, Genesis chapter 21 and verse 12, and then we'll jump over to chapter 22, verse 1. So this is drawing from what many consider one of the most disturbing stories we find in the Old Testament. On the surface, it just simply doesn't make sense. It seems counter to who God is and what he's about. But look at Genesis 21 and verse 12. We're going to reconfirm something we just read there in Hebrews. And we're picking up mid-thought, mid-story here. But God said to Abraham,
be not displeased because of the boy, that's Ishmael, and because of your slave woman, Hagar. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. Now watch this. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now what God is doing there is, again, remember, and we were talking about this last week. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And his offspring would be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. That's a lot. And he made these promises, and then Abraham and Sarah find themselves past the age of having babies. Abraham, what was he, 99? Sarah, 90. And yet they did not have a child. But we know the story that God miraculously, though Sarah had been barren her whole life, they had a son named Isaac. Now remember the whole story of Hagar and Ishmael, and they tried to do it their way. That didn't work out the best. And God confirms this right here, that it is through Isaac that the promise of the nations is going to come. Now we know the story as it comes. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, and then Isaac, the father of who?
Jacob.
And Jacob's name was changed to who? Israel. Okay, so this is the line of Israel. And the promise is that all the people of the world will be blessed through this. And that is the promise and the prophecy of the coming of Jesus. That all the people of the world will be blessed through the coming of Jesus. That's through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, having said that, now you think about this. An absolute positive miracle that these old folks had a baby. Reconfirming that the promise that Abraham received from God would come through Isaac. Now we get to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. So if you turn your Bible there, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. We're going to read down through this story about Abraham and Isaac and this God testing him. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son. And it's like, and he like really kind of puts a point here. Your only son, which is not true in the sense of he had Ishmael too. But what's he saying? Your only son, this is the son of lineage. Okay? Your only son. Isaac, whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah, up to the mountain, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Notice he's talking about the both of them. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, he said, here am I, my son, he said. Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb from the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in the order. In order, and bound, look, he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day. And on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. That's kind of a crazy story, folks. Especially as you find later in the New Testament, or I'm sorry, the Old Testament, it's very specifically that God is against child sacrifice because it was a practice of nations in their religions to do these sort of things, and God absolutely forbids it. But here he is saying, "Abraham, your only son," in other words, "the son of which I have given you in a miraculous way, to whom I have told you by name is coming the great nations which I promised you, take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me." That's a wild story right there. See, Hebrews and Genesis both say that this is a test. You see, Abraham had embraced the promises that God had said, absolutely embraced them. Even when it comes to the birth of Isaac, he and Sarah got past their laughter about it and embraced what God had said. But now comes this great test to Abraham. Love for his son versus duty to God. Promise of being a great nation through Isaac, again, versus duty to God. And what's interesting is, Hebrews says this, though maybe it's insinuated in Genesis, that Abraham simply believed that if he actually killed Isaac, that God would simply just raise him from the dead because of the promises he had been given. But that's some faith, people. I don't know about you, that's some faith. See, testing Abraham. See, the whole entire time, if you really look at it, he tells the two guys that were with him, helping him, "You stay here. We're going to go worship. We're going to come back." I mean, this whole entire time, Abraham is holding in his heart that this, I don't know, it didn't really put into words to read between the lines what's going on in Abraham's mind. But he trusted it in his heart. They were going to go and they were going to come back in spite of doing exactly what God is going to tell him to do, which is to sacrifice his son. So it really goes right up to the last moment. I don't know where I've seen this picture. There's a painting. It's an old, probably, I don't know, Renaissance era painting. I don't know if I've seen it. Maybe I had a friend growing up that this was hanging in her house. I wouldn't know why, but I know this painting. And it's Isaac's laying on the altar. Abraham has a knife, and there's an angel coming to grab his hand or something. I mean, you're talking right up to the last moment. He's got his knife out to do the dip business, and God calls out to him. Thank goodness he was listening, you know. "Hey, don't do this. I know of your willingness that you really do trust and fear the Lord to obey him to this extent." See what is happening here? And I think we can get into some different things about this. But the first thing that just really strikes me about this is that God is willing to test your heart about what's really there. He just tested Abraham in a very kind of a way that we would think is unimaginable. It's not that God doesn't know what's in your heart, but he wants to test it to bring out what's in your heart. Your motivations, why you do what you do, mean everything. You see that? Was Abraham just keyed up on having great nations flow from him? Or was he, no matter what God had said, that he was after God and the obedience to God first and foremost, no matter what? You know what I mean? So God, I think, will probe our hearts and test our hearts. And what really, I think, marks Christians is the absolute willingness to obey. Okay? Because if you are willing to obey, then here, your heart will ultimately be guarded from wrong motivation and doing things that are outside of really what God is asking of you and trying to lead you in, so your motivations stay right. Now, Abraham didn't probably fully understand what was happening, but what Abraham did know how to do was obey. And it's that simple. Have you ever felt led in your heart to do something and your initial reaction is, that makes no sense? I'm talking about. Again, we were saying this the last couple of weeks when it comes to faith. Or if you think about it, you got your list of pros, your list of cons, and the list of cons that way outweighs the list of pros. That doesn't make sense logically. See, it comes down to the willingness to obey. Okay? And if we can be people that live in faith in such a way that that faith is marked by our obedience, yeah, I think we're going to do some good things and stay within the bounds of what God is doing. So yes, it seems that God is willing to test us, to see what's in our heart, to draw that out. So the key is obedience. It's just plain and simple. That in the leading, in the unction of the Holy Spirit, that our response is to do. You could be into the Word, spending time in the Word and coming across something that jumps off the page at you and the Holy Spirit's grabbing a hold of your heart. And if there's something of obedience there, then we obey. It could be conviction of things not to do. You ever been convicted not to do something? Did you obey? Right? How many times have we been convicted not to do something and did it anyways? The motivation of your heart was just exposed. Right? How many times have we had the unction to do something and we didn't do it? Right? That we are in full obedience to God. Again, listen to me. People struggle with this because we don't like to be told what to do. It's that simple. There's just the nature in us. Your kids. How many of you ever had one of those stubborn kids? We've had a couple of those. One of our kids, I won't say which one, but I promise you can guess which one, was just the easiest thing in the world. Yeah. He just called it out. She's just, listen to me. You know something about Hope? I'm not a big, huge paddler, but I would if I don't just automatically do that. If it called for it, yes. I never once, ever swatted her rear end. Ever. That's not an exaggeration. That kid was good. She would come tell on herself. There was one time, she probably hates what I'm talking about. Don't, as a preacher, one of the cardinal rules is don't talk about your kids in front of everybody. This is a good story. So when she was old enough to have a phone, she downloaded an app that cost us some money, and it was only just a few bucks. Yeah. And we didn't realize it at first, not like we're always, and she came, she felt so guilty, because we told her, you're not allowed to do that. You have to ask, if we prove you can do it. Well, she did it anyways, and it was, I don't remember what it was, it wasn't anything bad. No. We would have said yes, and remember she came to you and confessed her sin. She tattled on herself. The other two were not like that. There was one, again, I'm not telling you which one, but the biggest fight in the history of our household was over that boy eating about 5 peas that were on his plate. He and I about had a throwdown in our kitchen. We had a little off eating space from our kitchen. I'm just like, it wasn't, he had a pile of them that she put on there, or maybe I did. I just took a knife and marked out five of them. Just eat those. And buddy, we had to stand off. It almost turned into the gunfight at the OK Corral. Just stubborn. I'm just, but no, I mean, he was just adamant. I mean, I'm just like, dude, you're 6 years old, man. I grind you into a piece of, you know, man. You know what I'm talking about? I was just flaming mad, testing my Christian faith in that moment. Local youth pastor in the jail. I mean, it was close. Don't, listen to me. We just, in our nature, don't like to be told what to do. Right? See, that's why there's a certain humility that has to come in our maturity of faith, that we will be obedient to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the motivations of your heart are drawn out into when God asks, maybe probing your heart. What are you going to do? That's one thing we're seeing here. Here's another thing, and it kind of goes with that. Is there anything that God can ask of you that you will respond in obedience? Even things that he has given you. Can he ask it of you? Even things you counted as a blessing in your life. Can he ask it of you? So I was writing it down. I was thinking about this a little bit. See, Abraham, even though he literally didn't sacrifice his son, he did. In his obedience, he did give his son up. God gave a dead couple a child, dead in the age of barren children, a child. He gave them life that comes from a promise. And then he asked for that life back. And though Abraham didn't actually end up sacrificing Isaac, in his obedience, he did, in a sense. So he received him back from God. So Abraham and Sarah got Isaac twice. And I started thinking, you know, of things that God has asked of me that I consider something he has given me. What about if he asked it back? The only thing I can just throw out, I've been pastoring, I tell you guys, for 30 years. What if he showed up to me tomorrow and said, hey, that time of your life is done. I'm taking that calling back from you. Whoa. You know what I would do? I'd be like, I've got nothing else to do. I was barely good at that. Now you want me to go do something else? Are you kidding me? I got no skills. What do you want me to do? You know what I mean? But I would have to say that if he asked for it, that I would be obedient and give it. And in all the things, the domino effects that have to happen because of it, I trust then that he has a plan, that he will take care of all things. And actually, at the end of the day, it's for the betterment of everything. At the end of the day, it's for his purposes that he would do that kind of a thing. And I would be willing to say, sure. Okay, yeah. It leaves a kind of a hole open over here, but I will do what you say if you ask. Because here's the thing. He's the one who gave it to me. So ultimate ownership is his anyways. Therefore, if he desires to do something different with it, then that's his prerogative. And I would have to trust that maybe in the moment I wouldn't understand what exactly to do, but in obedience, he will what? Provide. And give wisdom and give direction. You see what I'm saying? Take care of the church. All the different things that have to happen. He would simply do it. Because acts of obedience open up next things. Right? And if there's one thing I want to do, I want to stay obedient to the leading and the direction of God in my life, regardless of if it's giving or taking or changing or whatever it is. That's what I want to do more than anything else. So I'm getting at that our willingness to even give something back that you felt came in a blessing. Because what God does is then he says, okay, hey, look over there. Oh, there's the provision. There's the ram caught in the thicket. See, he has provided. It makes more sense now. But notice, it didn't start to really roll into place till Abraham obeyed. You got to obey first. Right? Got to obey first. And I don't know. First of all, if you know anything about wild animals, they're skittish. Right? You guys know I'm a hunter. I was hunting was I out last night? You don't know. She doesn't even keep track of me. I don't know where you've been for the last week. No. I was out last night. I was sitting in my tree stand, a climber stand. I was sitting there, and I was just pulled my phone out. It was about 6 o'clock. And I just turned my head, and there was a doe walking towards me. She just literally saw my head turn, boom, and she ran away. I was like, yeah, that was nice. Animals are skittish. It's not like Abraham's out there building an altar and binding up his son, and here's this ram walking by hanging out. You see, I'm getting at. And it wasn't like it was caught in the thicket the whole time, or Abraham would have saw it when they went in. God provided in a way that would have been outside the bounds of what would have normally happened. He made something happen in response to Abraham's obedience. See, I'm getting at. So, obedience is the key to unlocking, if you will, steps of life and directions of life and the things that simply God is, he's trying to get you somewhere. But he's going to probe your heart on the way. He wants to draw out what's in there. Because I think for Abraham to eventually be the father of our faith and for Abraham to be everything he was, again, through what we see in the scriptures, God had to make sure that he didn't need to draw things out that would get in the way of it. So I'm getting at. Because God doesn't work with plan Bs. Jesus is not plan B, you know. He was the plan all along. And part of it was this guy called Abram. He said, hey, leave your family, get up, and go to some place I'll tell you about. Okay, sure. And he goes. That's faith. And God was working with it the whole time. But here's the third thing, by the way, that we see in this. This is actually a foreshadowing of Jesus. That you see that Isaac, when they left the two, when they went to go to the place where they would build the altar, who carried the wood for the altar? Isaac, like Jesus carried the cross. And they get to this place where a father was going to give his son as sacrifice. But it foreshadows that later another guy would carry some wood, but he would be sacrificed. A father giving his son. Because as Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. You see? And that's the ultimate foreshadowing of the provision of God in our life with Jesus. Okay? But it also says, for those of us who stay in obedience, the Lord will provide. Amen. So stay on course. And you'll find yourself in places like Abraham, where you're in a spot, and you're just in a situation, and something happens, and you see the ram in the thicket, and you're going to name that place the Lord will provide. And what you're going to do later on, you're going to look back and say, "Oh yeah, I'm in another spot, but I remember we were doing that." And the ram was in the thicket. We just noticed it. God did something? Oh, you know why we're going to be okay today? I remember the ram story. Right? Because obedience in him always leads us in these places that, again, he proves himself faithful over and over and over again. Is that right? So to live by faith is ultimately to say the Lord will provide. And we never come off of that. Again, I don't promise. I don't use the word promise a lot. I think I did Sunday. Second time in a week. This is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Listen to me. One thing I know about God, promise, the Lord will provide. How many of you have seen that in your life? Oh, my goodness. Yes, the Lord will be encouraged. Be encouraged. He's provided for your salvation. He set the course of your eternity. But he doesn't just leave you go until you get there. The Lord will provide. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. We'll stop there. When I was dealing with one of my boys about the peas, if the Lord would have said to me, take your son up to the mountain, I would have said, amen, Lord, let's go. I wouldn't even question it. We're going. Pack the bag, boy. I'm joking. Anyways. Oh, Lord, I pray that our hearts are right and pure before you, that when you probe and test our hearts, you find that you know is there, but that things within us will never keep us from obedience. That's the nature of being a Christ follower, obedience. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us, we just take these steps of life every single day. The things that make up our lives as we live them on a daily basis. In everything that we're doing it with a sense of obeying what you have said. Even sometimes when it gets a little murky and it's not quite clear, if we just simply have a word, we just grab hold of it. And that you lead us through life in your wisdom and your understanding that goes beyond ours. And I thank you for all you have done for us in the past as testimony to our future. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say,
amen.
Amen. All right, it's good to have you tonight. Sunday morning, by the way, Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled To the Brokenhearted. So I would encourage you to invite some people out for that message, To the Brokenhearted. All right, I've been thinking about some things I want to share with you Sunday. So come on out Sunday morning. I'm excited for that time.